Well, have you ever discussed the end times with people, like eschatology, like the second coming? Have you ever talked about when Jesus is coming soon or some of the signs of the times? Has anyone ever asked you, are you premillennial or amillennial? Yes, some of you, you talk about those things, right? How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Premillennial, amillennial. You're about to learn a little bit about that. Others of us, we're asked all the time. In fact, I had a conversation less than a week ago with someone, and we talked about how we interpret the book of Revelation, whether we're premillennial or amillennial. This person was amillennial. And so, how about, are you pre-trib or post-trib? Or mid-trib? Or no trib? No trib would, I would prefer no trib. But, you know, all these words are throwing around. So, you know, mid-trib what? What are we even talking about? And amillennial, post-millennial, what are all these things? But last week we had a message about Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where we looked at God's throne room, and then we looked at Jesus the Lamb, and sort of preaching to you. Today we're going to do a little bit of teaching here in the book of Revelation as we look at the end times. We're going to try to understand what some of these terms mean. Remember, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I talked about how there are four ways of interpreting the book of Revelation. Remember, I talked about preterist or past. It means all the events, everything you read. And by the way, I read the whole book of Revelation yesterday. You should read it every day. Get ready for my messages. But the preterist view says everything we read has already taken place in the first century. And then the historicist view says everything in the book of Revelation is taking place century after century, and now we're in like chapter 18 or something. Then there's a symbolic or idealistic view, which says the book of Revelation is not talking about specific events, but is an allegory or symbolism. There's a lot of people who believe that. And then there's the futurist view, which says that chapter 6 to the end of the chapter of book of Revelation is all going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet. It's a prophecy. And most evangelical Christians are futurists, as is our denomination. There's also a view that's developing. It's called the eclectic view. And I mentioned this before. And that is, we are futurists. These events, these events will happen in the future, but also they are symbolic of the cosmic and universe-wide struggle between good and evil, between Satan and God, and between the armies of the devil and the armies of God that go on right now. And we can take comfort, just as the early Christians, they took comfort from these words about Jesus being the victor at the end. And they were able to go through their suffering and even their martyrdom. And so an eclectic view says this is all going to happen, but it's also symbolic of some things that we can learn and apply in our own lives today. Today, we are going to look at the millennium. Now, you might say, those of you who know where things are in the book of Revelation, you might say, well, the millennium is not mentioned until chapter 20. Why are we talking about the millennium now? Well, it's because even though it is mentioned later in the book of Revelation, we're going to talk about it today because how we look at the millennium dictates or affects how we interpret Revelation 6 to 19. So we're going to talk about the millennium because it will help us figure out what is the tribulation, who is the beast, who is the Antichrist, what's going on in chapter 6 to 19. Just a little review here. I've got on the screen here the outline of the book of Revelation, just so you know where we are. We looked at 1, 2, and 3 with the seven letters to the churches. Then we looked at last week at chapter 4 and 5, the great throne room of God and the Lamb of God. 6 to 16 is all the wrath. They open the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls, and God's wrath is poured out. And that, most people feel, that is the tribulation. But when you read the book of Revelation, it doesn't give us orderly events and tell us how long the tribulation is. Now, just as an aside, I will say, a lot of you say or think or have heard that the tribulation is how many years? 7. Nowhere in the book of Revelation does it say 7. Instead, people are taking different other scriptures that apply, like the book of Daniel is what tells us that there are 7 years in the tribulation, if you equate Daniel's 70th week with the tribulation. But nowhere in the book of Revelation does it mention 7 years about the tribulation. But that is the tribulation, 6 through 16. 17 and 18 is sort of a little parenthesis that is in there about Babylon. And then 19 and 20 is Jesus coming back, and then the millennial reign of Christ. So what we're going to do is read just a few verses this week. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to read just the first six verses of chapter 20. And then I'm going to go back and read a few verses from the book of Daniel. All right? We'll start with Revelation 20, 1 through 6. Please get out your Bibles and follow along with me. Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 6. And this is John talking. He says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon," excuse me, the dragon is introduced in 6 through 16. We'll find out who this dragon is. Well, it's Satan. "He seized the dragon," because it tells us right here, "that ancient serpent who is the devil," or Satan, "and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. All right, now let's move over to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. The book of Daniel comes after, you've got Isaiah and then Ezekiel, and then you have Daniel. So Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is one of the dreams, visions, dreams that Daniel had thousands of years ago. The dreams of these four beasts. We're going to go right in the middle of the chapter, verse 13. "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led from his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." This, of course, we believe is referring to none other than Jesus. And this is referring to that kingdom when Jesus comes back in the clouds, the millennial kingdom that he is setting up. So here we go. A few definitions. First of all, the word millennium. And the word millennium refers to the period of 1,000 years that we saw mentioned over and over in chapter 20. The 1,000 years that are mentioned 6 times in this passage. During this 1,000 years, the Bible says that Satan will be bound up into the abyss, and believers will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, what in the world is this millennium? How are we to interpret it? We're going to look at the ways that people have interpreted it over the years, and we're going to look at 4 views, and you will need to figure out what view you are, okay? So, we're going to look at 4 views. The first view is called post-millennial. All right? So, you may find someone who is a post-millennialist. There's not very many left anymore. So, we're going to quickly cover this view that used to be popular. The post-millennial view holds that the 1,000-year reign of Christ, or the period that's mentioned in Revelation 20, symbolizes a long, indefinite period of time that we are in right now. In other words, we are in the millennium. It's not exactly 1,000 years, it's just a long time when Jesus will reign while the gospel is being spread throughout the whole world. And during this time, Jesus' name will be spread throughout the world, and people will come to Christ, and they will live in peace and justice. It will be sort of like a golden age. And then after this, Jesus will come, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The word post means after. So if you're a post-millennial, you believe that Jesus is coming after the millennium. Post-millennialism came into favor in the 1600s, 1700s, along with the Age of Enlightenment. In the Age of Enlightenment, things would seem to be getting better and better. There's all these inventions and the Renaissance, and Christianity was growing and going everywhere. And people thought, gee, we must be in the millennium right now. As we proclaim the gospel everywhere, more and more people are going to be converted. And gradually, peace and righteousness and goodness will spread everywhere. And most of the world will become Christian. And as we go to America and convert the Native Americans into Christians, and this is the millennium. And the Lord is going to return visibly and bodily in great glory, ending history with the resurrection. So let's take a look at this chart that we have here. I'm going to give credit to J. Dennison Jr., who made these charts. So here is a way of looking at the post-millennialism real quickly. And you see, we are here in the present age. There we are in the present, and Jesus came, and then we're living here. And then we're in the millennium now, and things are going to get better, and then Jesus is going to come, and when we start the eternal state. So that's post-millennialism. This view fell out of favor in the late 19th century and the early 20th century, with first the Spanish-American War, and then World War I, and then World War II. It was obvious that peace, righteousness, and judgment and justice were not being spread throughout the whole earth, and we are not in the millennium. So hardly anyone believes this now. Next, we're going to a second view. This view is held by a lot of people. It's called amillennialism. Amillennialism is the view that there will not be a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. Means not. But what they're really saying is there's not going to be an actual 1,000-year literal millennium that we go through, or more accurately, there will be a spiritualized millennium before the second coming. Not on the earth, but in Christians and believers everywhere. So in this view, the 1,000-year reign of Christ mentioned in Revelation 20 is symbolic of the church age that we live in now. And this age will come to an end with the second coming of Christ and the resurrection and the new heaven and the new earth. They still believe in a symbolic millennium, but not a literal reign of Christ where Jesus is here physically, you know, sitting on a throne physically. You won't be able to see him. Instead, Jesus is sitting figuratively on the throne of David, and this present church age is the kingdom that Jesus is ruling. So it's like we're sort of in the millennium, but it's not going to get better and better. It's just the glory of the millennium is seen in us, okay? And then when Jesus comes, all the great promises will be fulfilled. Sometimes amillennialism is called, it means like the beginning. Emergent millennialism, where it's starting and the great promises are starting to be fulfilled, but will not be consummated or completely fulfilled until Jesus comes. And the kingdom was inaugurated when Jesus first came, but the glory of the millennial kingdom is only seen in our faith, but it's not fulfilled, and we're living in a time of tribulation right now. And apostasy. But Jesus is going to come and everything is going to be fulfilled. I've got a chart here for you. Let's look at this chart. This is amillennialism. We live here. We're living sort of in the millennium now, but it's not all fulfilled. And then Jesus is going to return and there'll be a final judgment. The people, a lot of people believe this, and most of the mainline denominations are amillennial, and it goes along with the symbolic view of the book of Revelation, that they're not actual events, but symbolic. So most of the non-evangelical Christians that you meet will be amillennial. Doesn't mean that they're liberal. It doesn't mean that they're heretics. It simply means that that's what they believe. And they're very, very, there's not a liberal conservative thing. Don't think that. Many of my friends, my Christian friends, are amillennial. So that's amillennialism. It's a very, very common view. Now, the last two views are both under the umbrella of premillennialism. So I'm gonna talk about premillennialism in general, okay? Well, we're not postmillennial. And I think I just let you know we're not amillennial. We are premillennial. Well, premillennial is the belief that the Revelation 20 refers to a literal thousand-year or a long reign of Christ on earth. And Jesus will come before the millennium. So that's why it's premillennial. Jesus is coming before the millennium. And that millennium is a literal 1,000 years, or some believe a very long time. And during the millennium, Satan will be bound in the abyss. This will be the first resurrection of believers in Christ, who will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, it says, before he defeats the last rebellion, throwing Satan into the abyss. So the millennium, all premillennials believe that the millennium is a literal, earthly, physical kingdom ruled by Jesus personally that you can go up and see, and ruled also by believers. Jesus will establish himself king, and the world will be ruled and reigned by Jesus and believers. And he will be sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem. I'll read Psalm 72:8 says, he will rule from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth. He will be visibly present, and the world will see his glory. So when he comes, he'll set up this kingdom. And there's going to be perfect peace and harmony. There's going to be righteousness and justice, both physically and spiritually. There will be a time of obedience and worship and the knowledge of God. And it's going to be awesome. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4 talks about the millennial kingdom. It says, he will judge between the nations. He will settle disputes for many people. He will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against other nations, nor will they train for war anymore. This is the millennium. There have been proponents of premillennialism view from the time of Christ until now. Most theologians believe that the early church was pre-millennium. And it's sort of gone up and down over the last 2,000 years, trading with amillennial as the view that most people believe. But the last 200 years, premillennialism has really taken the hearts of most evangelical Christians. So premillennial. Premillennialism got everyone to think about Jesus coming back again in the 1800s and 1900s and last century. And a whole bunch of Bible colleges began to teach us about the Bible. It's all happened in the 1800s, or the 19th century and the 20th century. Jesus is coming. We need to tell everyone. So that's premillennialism. Now, you ready? One more fork in the road. There are two kinds of premillennialists, okay? Two kinds, and they're different. They're the same in a lot of respects, but they are different in several respects. Are you ready for this? Before we go into this, if you've studied, you know, you've seen charts of this is what's going to happen, you know, the 7-year tribulation, and halfway through this is going to happen, and the beast is coming here, and the false prophet here, and they've got everything named and everything numbered, and they even have possible people in these slots, and they say Babylon is the, you know, maybe a church or an apostate church. They say, if you've ever read books like that, that's going to be the last one we look at, which we'll name in a minute. But the more popular and long-lasting view is this next one I'm going to tell you. It's called historical premillennialism, all right? Historical premillennialism, also called classical premillennialism, dates from the early history of the church. It says that the present earth church age that we're in right now will continue into the end times. And then there's going to be a great tribulation, a time of suffering on the earth. The book of Revelation does not tell us that the tribulation is 7 years long. Remember I said that. So historical premillennialism says it doesn't tell us how long it's going to be. It's going to be there. It's going to be a time. There's going to be people that are going to rise up, like the beast and the false prophet and all that. There's going to be suffering. And after the time of tribulation, at the end of the church age, Christ will return to earth. Believers at that time will be raptured. And then all the previous saints and all those who are raptured will come to with Jesus to establish the millennial kingdom. And we will live and reign with him forever, or for 1,000 years. And we'll see Jesus and everything I said about premillennialists. Some premillennialists take this to be a literal 1,000 years. Others say it's going to be a really long time. During this time, Christ will be physically present on earth in his resurrected body. He'll reign as king, and we'll be there if you're a Christian. All right? During this time, Satan is bound in the bottomless pit. At the end of this time, God will release Satan. The Lord, there's going to be a revolt. The Lord's going to put down that revolt, the Battle of Armageddon, and then come the new heavens and the new earth. So this is the view that a lot of premillennials are. I might even say most, but right now it's about half and half. And it's a literal understanding of chapter 20. Israel will undergo a national salvation before the millennium, but there will be no national restoration of Israel as a special people of God. They are part of the church. In the church age, there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, right? We read that in the New Testament. The rapture, when did I say the rapture would take place? By the way, how many verses in the Bible talk about specifically the rapture? One. Only one verse in the Bible specifically talks about the rapture. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's a very powerful verse. It says, when Jesus comes, those who are alive and remain will be snatched up to meet the Lord in the air, and those who are dead will be resurrected. That's talking about a rapture. The historical premillennialist view says that this rapture will occur right at the second coming. Not before. So people will go through whatever tribulation or suffering is there. Let's look at the chart that we have. So here's historical premillennialism. We are here in the church age. Then there's going to be a great apostasy. There's going to be a tribulation period that doesn't say how long it is. And then when Jesus comes, there will be a rapture. And then everyone will come back with Christ, along with the righteous dead. Millennium will happen here. So Jesus comes before the millennium. And then Satan is loosed, battle of Gog and Magog, and then the eternal state. That's historical premillennialism. All right, is everyone still with me? We now have one more view to look at. One more view and we'll be done. One more. The last kind of premillennialism, remember, premillennialism means Jesus is coming before the millennium. All right? The last view is called dispensational premillennialism. That's about 14 syllables. Dispensational, everyone say that. Dispensational premillennialism. Premillennialism, all right? Dispensational premillennialism. This view was unheard of until 1875. It was started in the late 1800s by a guy named John Darby. And he took the historic premillennialist view and changed it some. Because dispensationalism was starting to grow at that time. We don't have time to really get into what in the world dispensationalism is, but it's a way of categorizing the Bible into specific dispensations, where God treats people one way here, and then one way here, and then a different way here, and a different way here, and there's seven of them. And John Darby came up with this whole thing, and then Scofield, if you've ever heard of C.I. Scofield, came up with the Scofield Bible, and he elaborated on that. And we had dispensationalism. And we are in dispensation number 6 right now, the Age of Grace, and then dispensation number 7 is the Millennium. All right. Dispensationalism is characterized by detailed interpretations of the events of the last days. Charts, timetables. There's a guy named George Ladd who came up with all sorts of charts. Who everyone is, the number 666 adds up to this, that, and the other. But the biggest difference between historical premillennialism and dispensational premillennialism is how they view Israel and Jewish people. Most other views don't see any distinction between Israel and the church anymore. The Bible teaches in the New Testament that all are one in Christ. We're all grafted into the same vine, right? It says that. It says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all together. We don't have to do the Jewish things anymore. Everyone's the same. Everyone's one in Christ. We're all unified. John chapter 17, we're all one. We're all the church. We're all believers. We're all the kingdom. That's all there is to it. Dispensationalism says that Israel is, we see that in the Old Testament, and all the prophecies about Israel that most people believe are fulfilled in Christians, they say, no, that's going to be fulfilled with Israel. Israel's going to come back, and they're going to be a big force again. And right now, the church age, Israel is just not being dealt with. But then there's a sharp distinction between the nation of Israel and the church. And so that Israel as a nation is going to be gathered again at the end of the age. And they're going to be converted. And the land promises of the Old Testament are going to be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. The nation of Israel will inherit all the promises made to Israel in the Old Testament, whereas I would say most Christians believe the special promises in the Old Testament that haven't been fulfilled relate to the church and believers. Dispensational premillennialism says that Israel and the law are suspended after Jesus came the first time. We're in this little church, this big church age, but God has a future special redemptive plan for Israel. And the second coming is, the other difference is the second coming is in two stages. Dispensational premillennialism says that the rapture is going to happen before the second coming, before the tribulation. And so the second coming will be in two stages, the rapture and the return. And the rapture is before the tribulation, and that is known as the pre-tribulation rapture. So that makes you pre-trib. So if you're dispensational millennialist, you're pre-trib. If you're a dispensational premillennialist, you're pre-trib. And then, no, that's the last one. And then there will be a 1,000-year millennium. Israel will, but here's what's different. Dispensational premillennialism says that during the millennium, there's no believers on earth. No, except for those who find Christ later. We and all prior believers will have our glorified bodies. We'll be up in heaven ruling in some special way from up there. That's what dispensational premillennialism Jerusalem says. Whereas historical premillennialism says Israel is not going to be ruling. They're not going to be the center of everything. Believers are going to be there, and Jews will be there too, but there's no special distinction. Okay? Let's look at a chart. Here's dispensational. This is typical of dispensational charts, that they're like arrows everywhere. So here's us now. And then at the rapture, the dead of Christ will rise, 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll go up there, but then there's going to be a tribulation of exactly 7 years. And this is the 70th week. They get the 7 years from Daniel chapter 7. And the restoration of the Jews to Palestine is a lot about Israel here. The temple will be rebuilt, etc. And then after the tribulation comes the millennium. Satan will be losing. Everything else is the same after that. All right. So let me just give you some closing thoughts about these two kinds of premillennialism. There are many points of agreement between historical and dispensational premillennialism. Jesus is coming before the millennium, all right? It is a literal millennium with Christ ruling the world at peace and justice. There will be a time of tribulation. There will be a rise of leaders and people represented by the beast and the false prophet. In the book of Revelation, the Antichrist, what we're going to talk about later. Jesus will come at the end of this tribulation to defeat the Antichrist and the evil leaders and bind Satan. And after this 1,000 years, Satan will be permanently conquered and thrown into the lake of fire, and there will be a rapture. We all agree on that. The differences are that dispensational premillennialism maintains a sharp distinction between Israel and the church, whereas historical does not. There's only one people of God. Dispensational says the promises of a glorious future for Israel means the actual nation of Israel in the future. Historical teaches that these promises are for the church. Dispensational says that ethnic Israel will have a place of preeminence in the millennium, a special function different from the church. And as I said, we'll be up there, not down here. Historical says there's no such distinction. The millennial kingdom will be made up of believers. Dispensational says the tribulation is 7 years. Historical says it could be longer or shorter. Dispensational says a rapture will take place before the tribulation. Historical says after the tribulation. So there you have it. What are we? What is this Christian Missionary Alliance? Christian Missionary Alliance, we are premillennial. And here is the entire statement about what we're supposed to believe with regards to millennium. Jesus' return is premillennial. Four words. So we don't take a stand on dispensational or historical. A.B. Simpson, who's founded this Christian Missionary Alliance, was historical, with a little bit of dispensational thrown in, but he rejected, as do most alliance people, theologians, reject dispensationalism in general. I'll tell you real quickly why. Dispensationalists, which are usually very fundamentalist people, dispensationalists are very strict about that the gifts of the Holy Spirit passed away when the last apostle died. And that dispensation was ended. And all dispensationalists who are true dispensationalists, like John Ryrie and others, believe that the gifts and the miracles of the Holy Spirit are not for today. Christian Missionary Alliance is opposite of that view. We believe that they are for today. It's right in our doctrinal statement. So I would say that we lean toward historical. There are some people who believe in dispensational premillennialism who are not dispensational. That's another story. So we teach, no matter what, that we are to long for and prepare for the second coming of Jesus. We teach in the Christian Missionary Alliance, we don't get into a lot of detail about all this stuff. We say we need to live for Him as we seek to be holy through the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to do our part to spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Matthew 24, verse 14 has been our key verse. The gospel of this kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come, Jesus said. So we want the end to come. We want Jesus to come back. We need to preach the gospel to all the world. We need to let everyone know about Christ. And we need to bring back the king is one of the things that we say. So most of us in the Alliance lean toward the historical premillennial view. We get a little bit nervous when people start making all these charts and say, this was, Henry Kissinger, remember that if you were a Christian back then, his adds up to 666. By the way, he's still alive. Jimmy Carter. Yeah, I know, but they added up his name and somehow, all these charts, we get nervous when people start saying all these things are happening. We just know that Jesus is coming. We need to live for him. We believe he's coming back. And there are some things we all believe. Well, I hope I haven't confused you too much. I hope it was interesting. Hope it was interesting to some of you. I think it's really interesting, but maybe you disagree with that. But we all need to understand that Jesus is coming soon. We all need to live for him. And there are some things that we do believe. He's coming back again. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to talk about the end time. But it really doesn't matter in some respects, because we know you are coming back. And we long for your appearing. We care for your appearing. And we want to live for you. And we will see how it unfolds. And we will be glad when you come back. So Lord, help us to understand what you want us to understand. In Jesus' name. Amen.